Hey everybody, it's Pastor Will. Welcome or welcome back to the Brazos Fellowship Podcast. Thank you for listening today. And at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast if you aren't already. But more importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, hey, good morning, Brazos Fellowship. Happy Sunday. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And for those who got a spring break, happy last day of spring break. Yeah, absolutely. Well, my name is Sam. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Brazos Fellowship. And one of my roles here is that I get to be the director over our Next Gen ministry. And this morning we're talking about helping the next gen win. Who's not on board with that, right? And so that's where we're going this morning. I want to take you all the way back to 1985, all right? It was Promotion Sunday. Now, if you're not familiar with what Promotion Sunday is, that's the week at church that kids move from their old class to their new class based on their new grade. So Promotion Sunday, 1985, I was done with the old fourth grade class, and I was moving into my brand new fifth grade Sunday school classroom. And I walked in, and for the first time, I met my fifth grade Sunday school teachers, O.E. and Pauline Neal. Now, O.E. and Pauline Neal were not who you would expect to be teaching Sunday school in the fifth grade. This was an older couple, and they were dressed in their Sunday best. And I want to be really, really honest with you. Over the course of my fifth grade year in Sunday school, I can't tell you a single lesson that they taught. I don't remember a single craft that we did, or a song that we sang, or a game that we played. But I remember O.E. and Pauline Neal. I don't remember too many of my Sunday school teachers growing up, but I remember Mr. and Mrs. Neal. I remember the way they loved me. I remember the way they poured into my life and into my family's life. It was Mr. and Mrs. Neal that introduced me to Bluebell cookies and cream ice cream. I will never forget Mr. and Mrs. Neal. Here it is, 40 years later, and I'm talking about helping the next gen win. And who I think about is O.E. and Pauline Neal, because they were such an inspiration for me, the way that they helped the next gen win. And it's been something I've been passionate about for my entire adult life. I graduated high school when I was 17 years old. And you say, well, that's not an adult, and you're absolutely right. But 1 week after graduating from high school, I started as a youth ministry intern at a small church in my hometown. 1 week after graduating high school, there were kids in the youth group that were older than me. And here I was, their youth pastor, right? And I did that all through college, children's ministry and youth ministry. And for my first 10 years of full-time ministry after school, I did children's ministry and youth ministry. And then I transitioned into old people ministry, right? I got to love and serve moms and dads and grandparents. And I did that for 14 years, including my first 7 years here at Brazos Fellowship. And then about a year ago, I had the opportunity to step into a new role here at Brazos Fellowship. And my new role included being the next gen ministry director. And so I got to step back into my roots of ministry in kind of a different way. And I absolutely love it, and I've always been passionate about helping the next gen win. And here's what I know about you, is that you're passionate about helping the next gen win too. I know that because you can think of somebody, like I have O.E. and Pauline Neal, you can think of somebody in your life who poured into your life, who loved you. And maybe you don't remember anything they taught you, but you remember them because they loved you and they were committed to helping you win. Maybe it was a mentor, a teacher, a coach. Hopefully for you, it was a parent or a grandparent in your life. But there's somebody that you can think of. And so you're passionate about helping the next gen win. Or maybe that doesn't describe you. And maybe you wished like crazy that there had been somebody, but that just wasn't your experience. And you don't want that for anybody coming behind you. So you're passionate about helping the next gen win. A lot of you are parents and grandparents, and I know you're passionate about helping your kids win, helping your kids succeed. And you want other people standing in their corner, pushing right along there with you, other people who are committed to helping your kids win, right? So you're passionate about helping the next gen win. And as a church, we are passionate about helping the next gen win. It's something we're committed to, we're dedicated to. But I also know that a monumentally huge part of that is that we have to partner with you, with moms and dads and grandparents. And so we need to know what it means to you for your kids to win. And so before we do anything else this morning, we've put together a little poll. There's only four questions here, but we want to learn from you. We want to hear from you. There is a QR code that's going to come up on the screen or a site, menti.com. And I know we've done these before during the welcome, and it's been a game. This is not a game. This is just, it's not even, the results aren't even going to be on the screen. But whether you have kids or not, whatever age you are, if you're able to participate, would you pull out your phone? I'm not allowed to have my phone on stage either. And see, I have it, so it's okay. Pull out your phone and scan that QR code. That's really not a rule we have. But I want you to participate. We want to learn from you. There's four questions, all right? Answer the questions that pertain to you. The first question is for parents of kids who are birthed through fifth grade. If that question doesn't relate to you, just hit the NA, the not applicable option down at the very bottom, and go on to the next question. The next question is for parents of kids who are sixth grade all the way up through college. And if that doesn't apply to you, that's fine. Just hit NA at the bottom, go to the next question. The next question is for empty nesters. And then the final question is for everybody. The final question is for any adult who was once a kid. Okay, so that's you. So we want everybody to answer, respond on that final question. Thank you so much. Saw a lot of phones come out. Thank you for participating in that, because we genuinely want to learn from you. We want to hear from you what matters most to you when it comes to helping the next gen win. What is important to you? And listen, if you're a parent in the room this morning, I'm going to ask something even more of you. We have a longer survey that we put together that we want to hear from you so that we know what matters most to you as a parent. What keeps you up at night worrying? Where can we come along beside you and help resource you and equip you? How can we help you help your kids win? And so we have a survey that we put together. You can access that by texting NEXTGEN to 97000. Simply text NEXTGEN to 97000. Later today, we'll send you a link to that survey. We really do want to hear from you when it comes to what it means to you, what matters most to you, what's most important to you as a parent, because we don't just want to say that we partner with parents here. We genuinely want to come along beside you and partner with you in helping the next gen win here at Brazos Fellowship. But this morning, we're going to talk about helping the next gen win. And so to do that, I think, because in this room, there are a lot of generations represented. Let's have a quick review of the generations. Here they are, the greatest generation. These are those who were born before 1946. This is my grandparents' generation. This is Mr. and Mrs. Neal's generation. And I'm just curious, is there anybody from the greatest generation in the room this morning? I'm looking around. I see a couple. Awesome, man. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for pouring into the generations that have come after you. The next generation is our baby boomers. This is my parents' generation, born between 1946 and 1964, baby boomers. And then we have Gen Xers. This is my generation, right? A small window here, born between 1965 and 1980, all right? This is the MTV generation, and I might say this is by far the coolest of all the generations, all right? So we have Gen Xers. After that, we've got the millennials. Millennials were born between 1981 in 1996, and they're the proudest of all the generations. Maybe, no. All right, and then after millennials, we have Gen Z. This is my kids. Yeah, born 1997 to 2012, and then Gen Alpha are those that have been born since 2012. Now, you might Google this and see some different years, some different dates represented, but this is kind of a pretty close representation of the generations. That's a review of the generations, all right? And so if we're going to talk about helping the next gen win, we've got to define a couple of things. And the first thing that we have to define is, of all these generations, who is the next gen? Which gen is the next gen, right? We did that poll a few minutes ago, and for most of us, our minds went to Gen Z and Gen Alpha, our kids who are still in their formative years, still at home, right? And that's accurate. That is definitely, for most of us, that's definitely the next gen, and we're passionate about helping them win. But I just want to challenge you this morning to broaden your idea of the next gen. So for the next few minutes, let's define the next gen as this. The next gen is anyone who is coming behind you. Anyone who's coming behind you. anybody who's coming after you. So this message this morning is not just for those in their 30s or 40s or 50s, those who still have kids at home. This is an all skate. We're all a part of this because for every single one of us, there's somebody coming behind us. There's somebody coming after us. So that's our definition of who is the next gen. We also need to define, if we're going to talk about helping the next gen win, we need to define the win. What is the win? Because again, we took that poll, and the win is different things, right, in different seasons of life. And I know, for especially for parents, the win changes from day to day sometimes. Some days, the win is simply to survive the day, right? And the win changes from season to season. As a parent, you might be in a season where the win is to get your kids out of diapers, to get them potty trained, right? My kids are 12 and 18. If that was my win in the season we're in, well, I've already lost. That's not good. So the win changes, right? The bullseye is always moving. So let's define the win. I know this too, for a lot of us, the win that we were taught either explicitly or implicitly growing up was this, and you might have heard this before, he or she who dies with the most toys wins, right? And maybe for you, that's a win that you've been chasing for most of your life. And you're sitting here this morning and there's some level of dissatisfaction in your life because what you've experienced and the life you've lived and your reality doesn't really match up with what that's saying. And you know people who have died with the most toys who haven't won. And so that's not the win. As a matter of fact, I want to put this on the screen right now. The win isn't necessarily equal to improving a standard of living. The win is not improving a standard of living. And I don't have anything wrong with improving a standard of living. I'm not against improving our standard of living. I grew up in a tiny little apartment, and our siblings, we had to share bedrooms and share a bathroom. And so as a kid, I wanted to make sure when I'm older that hopefully we'll have a house and my kids will not have to share rooms. When Stacy and I first got married, we lived in a 700 square foot apartment. Later on, we upgraded. We improved up to a 1,000 square foot house. And then now we're in a little bit bigger house and our kids have the space to spread out. I'm not opposed to improving a standard of living, and I'm not talking down about anybody's standard of living, right? We all want better for our kids. We all want better for our grandkids. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not our win. Our win is not improving a standard of living. Our win is this, is providing a standard for living. There's a huge difference. Our win, there's nothing wrong with improving a standard of living, but when we're talking about helping the next gen win, our win is providing a standard for living. And so over the next few minutes, I want to propose an idea to you out of the Bible. We're in church, right? Out of the Bible, because I'm passionate about helping the next gen win. I know that you're passionate about helping the next gen win. What we're going to discover together is that God is even more passionate about helping the next gen win. And he's given us some very practical tools on how we should do that. And so we're going to be in Psalm chapter 78 for the next few minutes. Psalm chapter 78. Now, Psalm 78 is one of the longest psalms of all the psalms. Don't worry, we're only going to read the first seven verses this morning. But I really want to encourage you later today to go through and read Psalm 78, or later this week, read Psalm 78. Psalm 78 was written by a man named Asaph. Asaph was kind of a worship leader, a choir director in King David's court. King David was the second king in the history of the Israelite nation, became king in about 1000 BC. So Psalm 78 was written at about 1000 BC. So let's see in the first couple of verses how Asaph starts this. He says this, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old." All right, so we live in the year 2024. This was written in 1000 BC. So this was written 3,000 years ago. And when something that was written 3,000 years ago, he's talking about old things 3,000 years ago. What he's talking about here is the history of the Jewish nation. He's going back even several hundred years before he wrote this, 1300, 1400, 1500 BC. And here's what he says about these things, verse 3. He says this, "Things that we have heard and known, things that our ancestors have," and this is key right here, "have told us. things our ancestors have told us. So what he's about to share are things that the generations that have been before us have told us, and things ultimately that we should be sharing the generations coming after us. Things that our fathers and our mothers and our grandparents and our aunts and our uncles have told us. Things that those who are committed to helping the next generation win have told us. Those are the things. So what have they heard and what have they known? Well, he goes on in verse 4 and he says this. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell, here it is, the next generation. We're going to tell those who are coming behind us what those who have gone before us told us. We're going to tell the next generation. And before we read what Asaph is talking about, what he's going to tell them, let me ask you a question. What have you been told by the generations before you? What have you been told? I mean, beyond the basic stuff like brush your teeth and look both ways before you cross the street. What have you been told? What are you telling the next generations, the generations after you? Well, let's take a look at what Asaph says here. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders that he has done. Asaph says, this is what our fathers and our mothers and our grandparents, this is what they told us. This is what we want to pass down to the next generation. He's reminding them of the history of the Jewish people. A while ago, when I said I want to challenge you and encourage you to read Psalm 78, if you read through Psalm 78, he talks about the history of the Jewish people. He's reminding them of the good things that God has done for them. He talks about how God parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could escape slavery in Egypt. And he talks about how God led them through the wilderness for 40 years by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And he talks about how God struck the rock and water came gushing out. He talks about the goodness of God, the wonders of God, the power of God. And he says, these are the things that we should be telling the next generation. We should be talking about these things so that they can hear the goodness of God. Let's go on. Verse 5. He, that's God, decreed statutes for Jacob, and he established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to, and here's another key, teach their children. So there's two things going on here. First, we're going to tell them something. What are we going to tell them? We're going to tell them about the good things that God has done. We're going to tell them about the goodness of God. And then second, we're going to teach them. We're going to teach them something. What are we going to teach them? We're going to teach them the decrees and the laws of God. That's what we're going to teach them. So verse 6, he goes on. He says this. So the next generation would know them, the decrees and the laws. Even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Asaph is painting this beautiful picture of generations influencing and impacting generations. And that's what happens, ladies and gentlemen, when we decide to help the next gen win, when we get serious about this, when we tell them about the good things that God has done and teach them the laws and the commands of God, we can not only just help the next generation win, but there's a ripple effect. He talks about this in four generations. There are grandparents telling parents, and parents telling children, and children telling grandchildren that will someday tell their children that haven't even been born yet. There's a ripple effect that happens when we're committed to helping the next generation win. And the reason that he's telling them this, the reason he's saying we want to provide this standard for living, he talks about in verse 7. He says, then they would. There is a result. When we're committed to providing a standard for living for the next generation, something is going to happen. Something is going to change. Let's see what it is. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Three things happen here. They're going to put their trust in God, they're going to not forget his deeds, and they're going to keep his commands. When we are committed to helping the next gen win, we're talking about providing for them a standard for living. We're going to do that by telling them about the good things that God has done and teaching them the laws of God. Then what's going to happen is they're going to have this new standard for living where they're going to trust God, they're going to remember the things God's done, and they're going to obey the commandments of God. Let's start with putting trust in God. We live in a country that says, in God we trust, don't we? If you were to pull out some money, a coin, a dollar bill from your pocket, on that money in the United States of America, it says, in God we trust. Right there. It's tiny, but it's there. Isn't it ironic that in a country where, for most of us, we're taught most of our lives to trust more in our ability to make money, we're taught to trust more in our employer's ability to pay us money, we trust more in the bank's ability to loan us money. Isn't it ironic that on that very money that we're taught, and many of us grow up learning to put our trust in, it's a reminder there, in God we trust. And so what I would say is that we have been doing a great job of improving a standard of living, or thinking we're improving a standard of living, but not such a great job of providing a standard for living. And so as we do that for the next generation, what's going to happen is they're going to begin to put their trust in God and not in money or not in anything else. So that's the first thing that's going to happen. The second thing that's going to happen is this. They're going to remember what God's done. Are you talking about what God has done for you? Are you remembering what he's done? Come on, let's talk about what God's done with the next generation. And God has been good to you. You have experienced the power of God, the goodness of God in a very personal and very real way. Our kids need to hear us talk about that on the days that they're struggling to know and believe and trust that God is good. We need to tell them, no, do you remember this thing, that God did this thing that was so good? We've got to remember the goodness of God and talk about those things. And if you're ever having a hard time remembering something good that God has done for you, I just want to pause for just a minute and remind you of the greatest thing that God has done for you. John 3:16, you're probably familiar with this. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have what? Eternal life, everlasting life. God gave his only Son to die for you, to offer you forgiveness, to offer you immortality, eternal life. We can't ever say that God hasn't done something good for us, because he has done that for you and for me, every one of us, the entire world. That's something we should be telling everybody who's coming behind us. So we need to remember what God has done. And the third thing is this, keeping God's commandments. You might say, well, which commandments? Because look, if I open my Bible right here to Psalm chapter 78, it's pretty close to the middle of the Bible, not exactly, but pretty close. Well, everything in the Bible before Psalm 78, these are the laws and the commandments of God. You say, there's a lot of them. There are a lot of them. Over 600 of them that God had given the Israelite nation. But then Jesus comes along in the second half of the Bible, and Jesus says this, all the law and all the prophet can be summed up in this. Love God and love your neighbor. And so if we can teach our kids to love the way Jesus taught to love, we're going to be providing for them a standard for living. They're going to put their trust in God, they're going to remember what God's done, and they're going to keep God's commandments. So as we wrap up, I want to give you two very practical things that you can do beginning today, beginning right now, to help the next gen win. Two things, and the first thing is this, choose to help. Choose to help. You say, well, that looks pretty simple. It does look simple, but it's way bigger than you think. Because for most of us, including myself, our lives are so consumed and wrapped up in what's directly in front of us day in and day out. My agenda, my schedule, my calendar, my bank account, the things that I have to do, right? That we forget to look and see the people around us. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God created you and he created me to receive love and to give love. He never created us to receive love and to keep love. You and I were made in God's image to receive love and to give love and to make a difference in people's lives. And we'll never make a difference as long as we're just consumed with what's going on right here, right in front of me, in my little bubble. And we can do that by choosing to help the next generation win. Today might be the day that you choose to help. Maybe for the first time that you intentionally say, I'm going to choose to help the next gen win. Just like there was a day over 40 years ago that O.E. and Pauline Neal said, I'm going to choose to help. We're going to step into this fifth grade Sunday school class. And by the way, they made that choice long before I was born. And when they made that decision, They didn't just say, we're just going to teach a Sunday school class and see what happens. They said, we're committed to helping the next gen win. And they didn't know it then, but their impact has reached generations and generations. As a matter of fact, you're getting this challenge from me today in large part because of the decision that Mr. and Mrs. Neal made decades ago to choose to help the next gen win. So one really easy way that you can choose to help right here at your church, right here at Brazos Fellowship, is to choose to help in one of our ministry environments. Every single Sunday, right over your left shoulder, back in those rooms, there are over 300 kids that show up that we want to help them experience the goodness of God. And we're committed to helping them experience the goodness of God. We want to help them win. And week after week, more and more kids are showing up. And every Sunday between the two services, there are about 35 adults that are committed to helping the next gen win. They're in those classrooms with those kids. And can I just be frank with you? It's not enough. It's not enough. We need more adults who would choose to say, I'm going to step into this classroom and I'm going to help the next gen win. I'm going to choose to help. It doesn't even require teaching. That's all taken care of. What those kids need is somebody who's in their corner saying, I want to help you experience the goodness of God. That's what they need. And you might say, well, listen, smaller kids isn't my thing. Well, I have some good news for you because right over my right shoulder, across the street in the annex, every Sunday, we have over 100 teenagers who meet. And they also need adults who will just show up and be there for them. Specifically, we need men who will be small group leaders for young teenage guys and just provide a place where they can process life and provide some place. Can you imagine, guys, if you had somebody in your life when you were a teenager who their goal was just to help you experience the goodness of God? No other agenda. I just want you to know the goodness of God. So I'm going to love you the way God loves you. Can you imagine what might be different in your life? That's what they need across the street. They also need adults to help with kind of what they call their guest experience. As soon as kids show up on the property, we're committed to make sure every student knows they're loved and they belong here. And that takes adults who are committed to say, I'm going to choose to help be a part of that experience. I'm going to choose to help make that experience a reality for them so that they can know the goodness of God. So we need people to step into those roles. We never have enough. And we're not just asking for anybody. Listen, we're asking for people who are committed to helping the next gen win, because that's what it takes. That's what we want. That's what you want. That's what I want. Listen, if that's a step that you want to take today, I'm going to put this keyword back up here. You can text the same word, next gen, to 97000, and you can select the option that says, I want to choose to help in our kids ministry, in our youth ministry. By doing that, by the way, you're not committing. You're not signing up, all right, to help. You're just saying, I want to have a conversation about what this could look like. I want to have a conversation about where my place might be in Wambaland or in Upstreet or in Transit or Inside Out. Those are the names of those ministry environments. So that's all you're doing. So just text NEXTGEN to 97000. Somebody will be in touch with you this week and just start that conversation. You might say, well, that's a big ask. Well, one of the options on there is just to help on Easter Sunday in our kids area, because on Easter Sunday we have three services. Well, 35 adults is spread pretty thin over two services. You can imagine what that would look like over three services. So we need some people who would choose to help even on Easter Sunday, just for that one Sunday, and be a part of what God is doing in our kids' ministry on Easter Sunday. So choose to help. That's the first thing. The second thing that you can do today and that I can do today to help the next gen win is to be the vision. Be the vision. Here's the thing is, moms, dads, grandparents, you already know this. There are days where we have no idea what to say. There are situations and seasons in life where we just don't have the right words. What we can do in those seasons, and really all the time, but especially in those seasons, is say, I'm gonna be the vision. I'm going to be the vision of a man or a woman who trusts God despite the circumstances around me. I'm going to be the dad who doesn't give up on faith, even though it'd be so easy right now. I'm going to be the mom who chooses to trust, even though life is impossible right now. I'm going to be the grandparent who chooses to remember all the good things that God has done for me over all the years of my life and share those with my kids. I'm going to be the dad who chooses to live in God's word and then live it out. I'm going to be the parent who chooses to love even those people who are so stinking hard to love. I'm going to be the vision. So you can choose to help or you can be the vision. You want to help the next gen win? Here's what it's about, guys. Providing for them a standard for living rather than a standard of living. That's what we want to do. And here's what we're going to find. Whether you're 15 or 25 or 85, you're going to find that when you choose to help the next gen win, that you and I win in the process. Because what happens is that we begin to live out this standard for living. You want to fast track your spiritual growth? Commit to helping the next gen win. As you do that, you're going to be living out the standard for living. You're going to learn to trust God more in your own life. You're going to remember more of the good things that God has done for you. You're going to live in obedience to God, loving Him and loving others like never before. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be growing into the man or the woman that God has designed you and created you to be when you choose to help the next gen win. And I want you to imagine with me one last thing as we finish up this morning. As we grow old, and I know for some of us, we don't have to stretch our imaginations that far for this one, right? But imagine with me as we grow old and we choose to help the next gen win. And listen, for some of you, I know that maybe you're the first generation in your family that is even considered this. I want to just challenge you right now. You can break the generational cycle in your family, in your household. You can be the first generation to say, we're no longer worried about a standard of living. We're more concerned about providing a standard for living. But as we grow old, as we choose to help, as we choose to be the vision for our kids, imagine as we choose to help the next generation win, that generation after generation after generation, just like this picture that Asaph paints for us in Psalm 78, the impact that you can have, the ripple effect that you'll have on generations that aren't even born yet. It's so beautiful. If we'll just choose to help the next gen win by providing for them a standard for living rather than a standard of living. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you that you are so passionate about the next generation, that you are so passionate about each one of us when we were the next generation. God, thank you for your goodness in our lives. God, may we be committed to telling those coming behind us, the generations coming after us, about the goodness of God, about your mighty deeds and your powerful works. May we be committed to teaching the generations coming after us about the commands of God, that we're to love you with everything that we are and we're to love our neighbor as ourself. May we be committed to doing those things. May we be committed to providing for the next generation a standard for living so that they would trust you, remember what you've done, and obey your commands. God, the impact that can have on the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that is just monumental. And you've invited us to be a part of that. So thank you, God. Pray that for every man and every woman in this room, we would take a moment right now just to commit, to choose to help, and to be the vision. And maybe for some of you in the room this morning, when I was sharing a minute ago about the greatest thing that God has done for any of us, for all of us, through Jesus, maybe that was the first time you've even considered that God gave his one and only son, Jesus, to die for your sin. And today's the day that you're going to step into a relationship with God by accepting the forgiveness that God offers through Jesus. You can do that just by trusting in your heart. And as you trust, just tell him, say, God, I accept that Jesus died for my sin. I accept your gift of forgiveness and your gift of eternal life. And I choose to follow you. I choose to follow you today. If that's you, I would love just to say a prayer for you. Would you just lift your hand in the air? I've chosen to follow God today. I see you right up front. I choose to follow God today. I choose to accept his free gift. Today is the day, St. Patrick's Day 2024, that you have accepted the greatest gift that God has ever given any of us. So God bless you. God, help us to grow, to become more and more and more like Jesus by telling others of the goodness of God and by teaching others behind us the command of God to love you and to love others. God, we love you. Thank you for letting us be a part of what you're doing in this generation and in the generations to come. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Guys, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back next Sunday.
Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the Brazos Valley, we would love for you to engage with us at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, visit us at BrazosFellowship.com. That's BrazosFellowship.com.